Mizma Lam Gimel. We are up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Mishmaim Vidit. I have homework. I still owe you. We're not finished yet with these psukim. We have to go back and do certain things, like the Shalsheles, and see what it says in the Sefer HaChoshuv VaHayokar Techeles Mordechai. Okay, so I didn't get a chance yet.
Saying this a little bit stuff in the beginning of that
sentence. The Sefer HaChoshuv VaHayokar.
Yeah.
Techeles, no, I did not. That's what I'm confessing. Eschato ani masker. I just, Baruch Hashem, I've been very tortured with nonsense and wasting my time. I don't have always a chance to do my homework, but Yirtz Hashem, we're not done yet with this. We will come back when we wrap up this mizma. But today we're going to go further. Pasuk page 288. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Mishamayim hibit Hashem. From heaven, Hashem is mabit. Habata, hadis habata, and there is hashkofa. There are many different expressions to describe the Baruch Hu's gaze. And the word hibid usually connotes a glance. It connotes a superficial analysis.
Or it can mean to look down at.
Hashkifa usually means to look down. You can look down from a bird's eye view. That's hashkifa.
Right.
Mimo in Kotchecha,
call us, you know, bit
so that's the word here as well. Oh, so that's the question. I mean, obviously, every word has
here
a
unique. Obviously, means
because it says Bishamayim. The fact that it says Bishamayim, okay, but is the word he bit exclusive to looking down from heaven? I don't know. Let's see.
That negative thing.
Call Hash, call Hashkafa Shabbatar is Lura. Is Lura Chutz Mizu. Okay, but over here we have a different word of Mhibit. Mishamayim, Mhibit Hashem, Ra'ah. Ra'ah, he sees the present tense, or is it the past tense? I'm not sure. Ra'ah, as kol b'nei ha'adam, all of mankind. Let's see if he psukim. Mimechoin shiftai, from the location, the mechoin. The word mimuchin is not an easy word to translate. If you look over in the Mesilas Sin, it says miloshon hachono. Hachono, what does it mean? It means the Mesilas Sin hachono. Mitzuda is David on page 291. Me'ashamayim hamochon b'mochon miyatreu. They use the word mochon in modern Hebrew. It means an organization. It means an institution. Is that correct? Mochon. No?
Yeah.
Institute. The Institute of Higher Learning. A machon. Right? Machon. There are many
This has been the Dar. The Dar, you know, where he dwells, where he goes. Targum in the Dar.
A dwelling place. A dwelling place. It's an abode, a chamber, a selected location. So, Mimichoin, from his Mimichoin, his Shivtoi, the location, the abode of his dwelling. Hishkiach, Hashem is Mashkiach. He's a Mashkiach El Kol Yoshevitz. I know of a very funny story. There's a very funny story. There's a certain person that I know very that he was a Rosh Shiva. That's really the truth. He was a Rosh HaYeshiva, and for some reason the Bachrim, some of them only referred to him, viewed him as being the Mashkiach, the Mashkiach. Now, the truth is, in Slobodka, we've discussed many times, we live in a new world today. In America, it's a whole new ball game. But in Slobodka, in Avardik, it was clear as day that the more choshev of the people who run the yeshiva was the mashkiach. The mashkiach... Well, today that's how it is. Today it's a new world. Today, a mashkiach in a yeshiva is basically a plumber. A mashkiach doesn't learn very much. He just walks around and talks to boys and cheers them up. And the Rosh Yeshiva is supposed to be basically heavily steeped in learning and delivers the shiur and provides them with a hashkafa of life and a guidance and is their father, is their Masad HaKedushin, it is to him they bring all their problems. I don't know how in the world one person...
Tower as opposed to being
on the ground. I don't know how in the world one person can do all of that. can go and give you a top of the line 5-star shiur, at the same time be concerned and know every detail about every single student's life, and all the old students who come back with all of their problems and their issues and have the wisdom to go and solve all their problems. It is beyond my wildest imagination anyone today can take on such a load. But years ago it was not like that. Years ago the Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka, before World War II, it was very simple. The Rosh HaYeshiva gave the highest shiur. That's all he did. He comes into the yeshiva, he's there, and he delivers the highest shiur. High quad, and in order to give a high shiur, he has to sit the whole day, break his head open, to delve deeply into the Torah, to be able to provide high level quality chidushei Torah. And that's it. That's really the whole day. Torah. Then there was a mashkiach. And the mashkiach, that was not his job. The mashkiach's job was to present to the Bnei HaYeshiva the hashkofas hachayim. A counselor, but also the main thing was to provide a hashkofa, values, ideology. What is the hashkofa? Every yeshiva, obviously, has a different hashkofa. Okay, there are hezdi yeshivas, and there are like, I don't really want to call them Haredi yeshivas, and then there are more modern yeshivas, there are American yeshivas, there are Breslov yeshivas, there are Lubavitcher yeshivas. Every yeshiva has a unique flavor, and the mashkiach is the one that would mold the Talmidim in the image of a hashkafa that he wanted. That's what they did, and then they give musar, very very different roles. And usually, more often than not, if maybe 100%, the mashkiach was the one who carries the name of the yeshiva. It was a higher level to be a mashkiach than it is to be a rosh hayeshiva. A rosh hayeshiva means you give a high shiur, you're a big lamdan. But to be a big lamdan, but in order to mold talmidim in your image with a hashkafa, that's a very different talent. That's a very very high level. So like the Altov Slobodka, he wasn't the Rosh Shiva. There were other people who gave the highest shiur. In the Arvardi, all of the big yeshivas, there was the Mashkiach, and there was the Rosh HaYeshiva. In America, no way. In America, the Rosh HaYeshiva is everything. It gives the highest shiur, if it gives a shiur altogether, and also is. He represents the yeshiva. He presents the hashkofa of the yeshiva.
And does the fundraising.
Does the fundraising, goes to every wedding. I don't know how in the world he has time to live, but it's beyond me. And then there's the mashkiach. What is the mashkiach today in America? You go to yeshiva, what does the mashkiach in America do today? He takes attendance. He gives, but he's on the sidelines. He's on the sideline. He's not.
You gotta be careful.
It's too
much.
At least when there's a mashkiach,
being the rechim and working. Today it's a different world. Today. Okay, but back in the day, so even this not so long ago, even then it was already this new model. It was a new model where the title Rosh HaYeshiva already, the story I'm telling you already was that that's supreme. You call someone a mashkiach. It's like you're calling him the yeshiva electrician. He's a plumber, an electrician. You know, he just takes attendance and he makes sure that they deliver the food, breakfast, lunch, and supper. Serve. You know, he takes care of all the nitty gritty. But he's not providing the spirituality of the yeshiva. That's the yeshiva. So there's a person who was basically promoted to be the Rosh HaYeshiva, but the Talmid, not everyone in the yeshiva, called him, appreciated that he had been promoted, and there was some Talmidim who still called him the Mashkiach. They referred to him as the Mashkiach. So there was a student who was probably, at that time I would say, probably 18 years old, and he called the home of this Rosh HaYeshiva, and the Rebbetzin answered the phone, and he said to the Rebbetzin, "May I please speak to the Mashkiach?" So the Rebbetzin was very, very, stood up for the honor of her husband, a very good wife. She says to the boy without batting an eyelash, she says, "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't sell milk here. Goodbye." The boy calls back 10 seconds later, may I please speak to the Rosh HaYeshiva?
Oh.
Of course. You like that story? I love that story. We don't sell milk here. I heard this story first from the person who made that telephone call. May I please speak to the Mashgiach? I'm sorry, we don't sell milk here. This is not a farm. We have a Mashgiach to make sure the milk is kosher and they didn't add pig milk into the milk. Goodbye. May I please speak to the Rosh HaYeshiva? A good wife, yeah? A good wife. She stands up for the honor of her husband. So I just, every time I see the Mashgiach, Memchoin Shifto, Hishkiach! The Ribbono Shel Olam has no problem in his humility in being called the Mashgiach. Hashem is the Mashgiach. Nowhere does it say anywhere, B'chol HaTorah Kulo, that Hashem is the Rosh HaYeshiva. Nowhere. Hashem wears many hats. Hashem is the Gibor. Hashem is the Boire. Hashem is the Zokein Moli Rachamim. But Hashem is a Melamed, a Melamed. Nowhere B'chol HaTorah Kulo does Hashem take on the title the Rosh HaYeshiva. It's not a good title to take on. Once you take on that title, you're finished. You become a shmata.
You know that expression? See, silk is in
oversight. Hashkocha pratis. Hashkocha kololis. Mimikoimo, Ulavana, Mimikoim.
Mimikoim.
From the place of. So there doesn't say the word Mikoim. There's no word Mikoim there.
Yes.
Ulavana, Mimikoim. Is Mimikoim or Mimikoim? Mimikoim. I think from the place. Okay, so the word Mimikoim, okay, there's the Mikoim. Mikoim is a very popular word. Mechon means the institute. In modern Hebrew, it's the institute of so-and-so. So really, that's not accurate. The word mechon really means an abode. It means a physical location. We take it and we use it more as a concept.
Say in Navi, mechon should follow along
there. The place of your dwelling.
It's a right.
So the word mechon is an abode. Okay, obviously Hashem is not physical, so Hashem's abode is spiritual, but it refers to a location. Hashem is, you know, what it really does is it opens up the principle of tzimtzum. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he limits himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he reveals himself, Hashem is infinite. Meloi chol ha'aretz kevaydoi. Yet, in order for a human being to be able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem limits himself. He limits himself in a way that a person can hear. A person has a need to put things away. A person has a need in his mind to put things out of mind, out of sight. Even Hashem. The very scary thought. Hashem is miloi chol ha'aretz kevoda. Hashem is all over the place. You go crazy though. If I have to see Hashem, you see anyone holding, could you imagine being in the same room with Mayor Appledorf the whole day? 24/7, you look at the whole, you go out of your mind. You go out of your mind. A person needs to be able to take what he has and take a break and put it away somewhere. Put it in a box. Put it somewhere. So it's very shocking. Even Hashem made a human being. A human being is a human being has limitations. A person needs to take a break from God. Can you say such a thing? You can't say, it's apikorsis to say such a thing, but there is an element of truth to that, not in the way of apikorsis. Is Hashem permitted us to look at Hashem as being there and not here. Of course, Hashem sees everything. Hashem is here, Hashem is here, Hashem is truly every up, down, right, left, all around, everything you do. But yet, Hashem did create an element of intensity, of degrees of intensity.
Prime focus.
What do you say?
Prime focus.
We all appreciate that davening here, davening on the subway, is not the same as davening Shmoneh Esrei by the Kosel Hamaravi. Because by the Koisel Hamaravi, the intensity of the Shechina is that much greater. Why should it be like that? Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is Miloy Chol Ha'aretz Kevayda. The answer is yes, it's really true, but Hashem built into this world a principle called Tzimtzum, where Hashem allowed himself to be limited, to be confined, as a benefit for a human being who is limited and is overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed if Hashem is in my presence the entire day, then Hashem is full glory, I can't survive. I just cannot survive. There has to be a way where, of course, Hashem is here. Hashem watches every little thing that you do, but there are different degrees of intensity. And therefore, Hashem in creation built in a principle of limitation for himself so that we can deal with it. And part of that is there's a Beis HaMikdash, is where the Shechina is resting in this location with intensity. Hashem in Shamayim has a Machon. Hashem has a Kisei. Hashem has a Hadoim Raglav. Hashem, there are seven Rikiyos. There are so many different dimensions of Hashem where basically Hashem is Mitzamtzem. Hashem confines himself in intensity to different locations, different types of locations. Here is a Machon Shifta. What does that mean? It doesn't say this is the Kisei HaKavod. It doesn't say that this is Hashem's a Merkava. There's a Merkava. There's a Kisei HaKavod. There's a Hadoim Raglav. There's a Mimachon Shifto. There's a Ma'ona. Me'oino, there is a Hashkifa, Mimo'oin Kotshecha. What is the difference between Me'oin Kotshecha and Mimo'oin Shifto? I don't know, but it's different, obviously. And then there in this world, there are different locations where Kirvei Avos is a holy place, the Shechina is there, like Kirvei Avos, go to the Kosel HaMaravi, you go to Mekom HaKadoshim, you go to a Beis HaKnesses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, there's more of an intensity. But you go into the street, there's less of it. What do you mean there's less? Didn't they teach you in kindergarten? Didn't they teach you that Hashem is everywhere? Hashem sees, knows, omnipotent. Is that the right word? Hashem is all encompassing.
It's your ability to concentrate, that's the problem.
So Hashem built into the Bria Shagai. Sha'omar le'olam oydai. Hashem hid himself. He confined himself in our minds in order to give man a tool, the ability to in a healthy way grow and come closer to Hashem. And this term is one of many, many terms of confinement. This is the
very interesting. I mean, a couple of my sons had Rebbeim who said when we say Kedusha on the Shabbos, it said, Bihar Yomenu Yolam Voed, period. Tishkon belongs at the beginning of the next sentence. Tishkon, Tiskadal, Tiskadash is the way you should read, and when they read the Kedusha, that's the way they say it, because it makes more sense that way, because you, when you're saying Tishkon, it's sort of, you said, limiting the whole Tishkon, Tiskadal, Tiskadash is the proper way of the grammatical
sentence. So the printers, you're saying it's a printer's mistake?
It's a printer's mistake.
A printer's mistake. That's a chiddush. You have to have,
right,
you have, to have, you have, to have some...
Nobody does. You didn't learn that in yeshiva, but
okay, you need a
that.
Little. You need a little source,
yeah,
for that. That's
they
a chiddush.
Are on board with the grammatical sense of the sentence.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear. It's interesting.
Do the Tishkon Tiskadal?
Yes.
How does that...
Yeah. That's what they are taught. That's what they were taught.
Tishkei Tishkei.
You should yield it and be, glorified.
Okay, you're saying you're putting periods in different places. Okay, I'm not. It's interesting. All right, let's go further.
Maybe it's different. In words, one pasuk it says Mishamayim, and then it says Mekayim Shifta.
Right.
Maybe it's just, you know, poetic.
Poetic repetition. That's, but ayin panim l'tar, that's for sure. You'll for sure find them, it'll say, kafel hadavar b'milei shaynais. We repeat the same concept and it's just poetry. I mean, of course, that's the very simple pshat, this is poetry. But obviously, on a deeper level, all the commentators will tell you there are ayin panim l'tar, and there's obviously, there are many layers of interpretation. On a simple level, it's just poetic repetition. But on another level, there's something deeper. Okay, so he's saying also Shemayim. The fact that we say that Hashem is confined, Hashemayim shamayim lahashem. V'haretz nosan levnei adam. Another example of confinement. So if we listed off all these areas of confinement, hashamayim, there's the mikdash, the mikdash, the mishkan, another term that we use, and then there is the mechoin shifto, there is the kisei hakavod, there is the merkava, there is the mimoin kachacha. I already listed off seven different terms. Seven different terms. Conceal. Okay. Sometimes too much hiddenness is no good. Right. If Hashem is too hidden, v'anochi haster aster panai. Okay. Hashem is too hidden. That's also no good. There has to be a balance. Everything in life comes down to one word: balance. Mm-hmm. Balance in a relationship. So we listed already seven different terms. Each one of those terms represents Hashem's creation of containment. Containment. Seven different dimensions of containment, and each one of those terms has its unique flavor, a unique dimension, because the truth is, this is a creation, containment, because Be'etzem Hashem is infinite. Hashem is Miloi Chol Aretz Kevoidai. Yet Hashem, we could not survive a day. We could not survive a day. There's, I remember a Chassid Shammai, so a person was Mispalo. It was a Hasid Hashem. He wanted to have the Yirah Shemayim of the Rambam. I remember hearing this many, many years ago on a tape from Rabbi Fishel Shachter. I never knew. Certain things you hear, they always percolate, and other things you can spend days and weeks on, you have no recollection. This will disappear. But this I remember for some reason. There were many years ago, there was a Hasid Hashem, and he wanted to have the Yirah Shemayim of the Rambam. He was mispalel, mispalel, and the day came, okay, they gave it to him. And he basically, he went meshuggah. He went crazy. He got that on the floor, buried his head in the sand, and couldn't move. He was so overwhelmed with fear, with pachad, that he couldn't live. And then he's trying to, the Rambam, the degree of Yirah Shemayim the Rambam had, the Rambam was a healthy person. He walked around, he was smiling, talking to people. And he was a Yoreh Shemayim, he feared God to an extreme. But yet, his greatness was such, his Yirah Shemayim did not conflict with his ability to function. A person who's worried about something to a very great degree can't function. A person has a daiga, I'm worried what's going to be. Let's say a person, if it's only in their family, they're going to do surgery, and it's a long surgery, you can't work. I can't concentrate. I'm in a state of pachat. What's going to be? I can't read one word. I can't do anything. It's paralyzed out of fear. So a person who really fears Hashem to a very great degree is a Rebbeinu Shalom in this world. There's a natural pachat. How can you function? How could you function? So how come we don't have this problem? I can't speak for anyone here, but because we're not Yirah Shemayim. Yeah, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah, okay, have a nice day. we don't have that pachat. So mele, we go about our business, we do whatever we want. And oh yeah, taka, I have to daven mincha.
Similar to a Godel Mincha, Gevur Yisro Godel Mincha.
Exactly.
A person can handle it.
You have to be able to handle it. You have to be able to handle it.
Great. Handle
so Hashem knows that. Hashem knows that we're very weak people, and therefore Hashem does not overwhelm us. And Hashem, indeed, Hashem, and to each person, it's customized. Hashem is mitzamtzem. Hashem hides himself because Hashem knows that we are weak, and we can't handle an open revelation of Hashem. We would America does not help us. In America, there's no one's afraid of anything. Okay, Moshe Feinstein always used to write. It was a very famous. Moshe Feinstein was once summoned by the Russian government, by the Russians. They ordered him for something. They had the KGB. He got a message. He has to appear before the government for some accusation. And Moshe went, and he describes the pachad moves in the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, where they execute people on the spot. and he stood there before a very high government official, he didn't twitch. The pachad of what they were accusing him was so intense, was so great, if he would twitch, they would just shoot him on the spot. And when he walked out of that event, he was filled with, it was a watershed moment for him. He says, "Is if this is the pachad I have for a melech, the boss of Adam, I felt this extreme intense fear, al achas kama v'kama, before the Ribbono Shel Olam. In America, no one is afraid of anything. Nothing. There's no, if a person has fear of government, so then a person grows up living in an environment where you're afraid of something. It's easy to take that expression, that fear, that emotion, and transfer it to Hashem. I know what it is. Let me now work and take that, because I know what it is. Let me go transfer it to Hashem. But if you live in a life where you're not afraid of anything, how are you able to feel that feeling to Hashem? It's very difficult. You have to be extremely, extremely great that you can elevate yourself to be makir Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're afraid that a person does an aveira, there's going to be a din v'cheshbon, and how is a person going to stand for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's a very big problem. That's why in America does we don't produce great people in America. You don't see. I mean, there are very great people, but there's something different. We don't. The environment, Baruch Hashem, no one's complaining. No one wants to be afraid of anything. Okay, Achas V'Sham. You know, who knows? You know, history has not been kind to the Jewish people, and but it's this is what it is. Zehu, for good. I mean, that's how it is. Okay, let's go further. Mimchayin shifto hishkiach el kol yoshvei aretz Hakadosh Baruch Hu from his abode. Hashem is mitzamtzem himself, and he looks down and he oversees upon mankind. Kol yoshvei, the inhabitants of the earth. Pasuk tezvav hayoytzo yachad libam. Very interesting pasuk. Hashem creates together their hearts. What does that mean? Their hearts, we're all Siamese twins, everyone has one heart. What does that mean? Obviously, it means that there's a very sophisticated degree of communication between people's hearts. People always have this experience. How many times has it happened to you when you're thinking about someone? This happens, it's a really spooky. You think about someone that you haven't thought about in months. All of a sudden, you're sitting, and a thought of a certain person comes into your mind. And then a minute later, the phone rings, and it's that person. He calls you. Didn't happen to you? Yes. I'm sure this happened to every single person in Mogla. What are the chances? I'm sitting here in the room. The person is 500 miles away. Whatever, the person's in Eretz Yisrael. The person's in Minneapolis. The person's in Los Angeles. And I'm sitting over here, and here's his phone over here. All of a sudden, I think about this person. What was the last time I thought about that person? 6 months ago. What are the chances I'm going to think about him now? And then 30, 60 seconds later, this device rings, and I look at the screen, it's that person. How do you explain that? What are the chances of that happening? It's not 0.0001. The chances are zero. Zero. Obviously, there is something supernatural where hayoytzer yachad libam. There is some type of Wi-Fi communication between all of our hearts. And if he's thinking about me, he needs something, something came up, he needs me, I gotta talk to this person. I gotta talk to him. I must speak to him. There's a communication that goes between his neshama and my neshama. And the proof is, because 60 seconds later, the phone rings, he found my number, he called up. We know that to be true. Is there a person here in this room that did not happen to multiple times in their life? Multiple times, every few days this happens? Obviously, what's the pshat? It's this pasuk. This pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mankind, we're all connected. There's a network. A network, whatever you want to call this network, and Hashem today in this world has given us technology, which which is amazingly, which basically all the technology parallels the spiritual world. Okay.
By the way, I explain completely different. I would say I have Ivan. I mean, this is what I'm saying. And then you have Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. You have both. Yachad. Hashem created Yachad, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, I mean, Vinen Kol Masten. You understand? I understand you. When I came to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when I davened, Achrin Etan Tokev, at the end it says, Atahu Yotzram, Vata Yotzeh Yitzram, Behem Basar Vadam. That's exactly the same. You know that it's not our fault. You created us this way. So that's why the idea is, what can we do? And sometimes I cry when I say this sentence, when I damn that.
It's beautiful. So you're saying that the word, the plural of libam means the yetzer toiv and the yetzer hara. And the complex mix, the interaction between these two, creates a dynamic that is impossible for a human being to comprehend. But Hashem, in His infinite wisdom, understands man's behavior because Hashem sees the complexity of the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara interacting one with another, bringing about a unique performance. Things, the person behaves in strange ways. Men, by nature, are unpredictable. You really do not know how a person will behave.
That's what women say.
Women? What's a woman?
She's going to punish you.
You're going to lose your job.
When you'll understand why pizza is round, is put in a square box, and cut in triangles, you'll first begin to understand the way the mind of a woman works. Mm-hmm. You never heard that before?
I'm just saying, I smoke.
I told that to someone. He said that was the best joke he heard by the Shevet Brachas. Okay. Going back to our sugya, so we have over here already two pirushim.
Before we go back, I mean, the Yetzer Hara is an external force. It's always represented. As well as the Solomon mentioned also, Yetzer Tov is an internal force. So it's something, that he was saying there with, being mixed in. It's two different forces.
But they interact. Yeah. They interact. They interact with one another.
Well, I don't know.
There's struggle. There's a battle.
Yeah, well,
life is a battle.
There's a struggle between the person's internal Yetzer Tov with the external Yetzer Hara.
And that battle produces.
They're not both of them, but so believe or other.
Okay. But because there is a battle, it creates an unpredictable form. Like the CIA. If you watch these television shows, these movies. The CIA supposedly on every head of state. Every head of state has a file. A pattern of behavior. Whenever there is a difficult situation, I'm sure the United States is a very sophisticated file that probably paid millions of dollars, hired the best psychologist in the world to analyze Putin, to understand how he operates, his mind. Every head of state, because now they're dealing with the Assad, okay, the president of Syria, dealing with all heads of state. We're dealing with a very delicate situation. There's a war going on. They're very delicate. If the United States will go and do this, what is the expectation of how this person will react? So you study his pattern of behavior, and you pay people a lot of money, and they analyze everything that's on file, everything they know about this person, what he likes, what he doesn't like, his moods. And you study their pattern of behavior, and they brief the president and the Joint Chief of Staff and all these people, the head of the military, to tell them, if you're going to make this next move and do ABC, then you should expect for him to respond in this way. Because this we have studied, you've paid us millions of dollars to analyze his behavior, and this is the expectation of what he's going to do. And yet, more often than not, they're wrong. Why are they wrong? Because it's like the weather. You can have all the sophisticated weather patterns in the models, and it's unbelievable, the weather patterns, it's unbelievable. They go and they take a storm, and they show how for the last 80 years, the exact path, this cloud, in this type of situation, how it proceeded along the East Coast. And therefore, based upon our past history of analyzing in the computer models, we assume it's going to do this. And after all the collection of data and the millions and billions of dollars in satellites and AI that goes into, guess what? It does something unexpected. Because why? We don't have the full picture. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam fully understands man's behavior. Only Hashem. That's what it says. Hayoitzer Yachad Libam. Now the single people of Kalman is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Libam. B'loshon Rabin. Within each person. Within each person there are multiple forces. There are many hearts. A person has many. A Libam over here is interpreted in a homiletic sense of many passions. Many, there's the Yetzer Toiv, the Yetzer Hara, and everything in between. And that brings about a mix of emotion, and it makes man is unpredictable. That's what it comes out. And the only one that really understands what a person is all about, what's going on, is Hashem. He is the one, HaMevin El Kol Ma'asehem. Next pasuk, Ein HaMelech Moshe Barav Choyel. There's a rule, a king will not be saved with an abundance of strength. Choyl means, what does choyl really mean? Choyl means money. Choyl is a very generic term. It means money, it means an army, it means power, it doesn't mean koyach, because that's the next expression. Choyl means, let's assume that it means wealth. A gibor lo yinotzel berov koyach. A gibor will not be spared with his strength.
He says, is a vast army.
An army. And so in this context, you want to say army. Eishes chayil niyumsa. A woman has an army. Eishes chayil, eishes ke.
A woman of valor.
Okay. Ki Hashem hu anoisein l'cho koyach. I'll tell you a very important one. This is a very important one about Shaduchim. It says, and it's a very beautiful passage, Ki Hashem hu anoisein l'cho koyach. It is Hashem who gives you pasuk in which parasha. Rabbi Ronyevsky knows Kol Torah Kul by heart. Ki Hashem who anoyes l'kech la'asos choyel. So and there the Targum Yonason ben Uziel says something that is shocking, off the charts shocking. I think it's probably the most shocking thing in the whole Torah. What he says, the most powerful thing. Ki Hashem who Hashem gives you koyach la'asos choyel. He says that the word koyach means Hashem puts into your mind the Eitzah, the idea how to make money. When a person is entirely, you would think Hashem gives you, a person has his own ideas, and you need Siyata D'Shemaya, so you dive into Hashem, so Hashem helps you get where you need to go. He says, no, it's much more profound. Who gave you the idea? Person had an idea, he's gonna sell widgets. Pieces of wood. Who gave you the idea to sell widgets? Why didn't you become a plumber and sell pipes? Why didn't you go and decide to sell washing machines, dryers, air conditioners, real estate? Who gave you this idea to go do this, to go into the mud, sell cornflakes? Who gave you the idea to make Coca-Cola? That was really an accident, how Coca-Cola came about. But who gave you this idea? You think you came up with the idea? It's supernatural. Hashem deposited in your mind an idea. And Hashem fooled you in letting you think that it's your idea, and you ran with it, and you became extremely successful. So take that further. The word choyel, now is in drush. The word choyel is a code word for a woman. Eishes Chayil mi yimsa. Man gets married. Who does he marry? I decided. I went out with I went out with 50 girls, and I decided I like this girl. Wrong. Ki Hashem hu hanoisim l'cho koyach. You saw these 50 girls? Hashem put into your mind, against your will, which one will be your Eishes Chayil. Hashem, at times, according to Targum, Yonasan ben Uziel, controls your mind.
At times.
There's something called Bechira Chavshis. You cannot deny that the purpose of this rule is for you to exercise your free will. You can't deny that. Purpose of creation is you have free will. You make your own decisions. Make a decision. It's your decision. But yet, what?
What about evil in the world? God has to be blamed for that too.
You have to make the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, you have to make a decision. There, it's a balance. There are conflicting Mamore Chazal. And like everything in life, everything is a balance. There are elements in life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you free will. And there are situations when Hashem is fooling you. You think you're making this decision, you're not making this decision. Hashem made the decision for you, and Hashem put into your mind what He wants you to do. This is not what I'm saying. It says in the Targum, Yonis ben Uziel, Ki Hashem hu hanoisein l'cho koyach la'asoy schoil. Hashem puts in your mind the Eitzah, how to make money.
But then you have a free will to do or not do.
Fine. So then there are different methods. There are different methods how you can sell widgets. You can go out into Avenue J, widgets for sale, or you can go online and market it, or you can do other things. But it is Hashem gave you the idea what to do. And now you have Bechira Chofshis, how you will implement. There's a balance. Not everything in life, according to the Targum Yonasan and Uziel, is you pulling the strings. There are things that you decide, things that you did not decide. Rabbi Rakefet, Rabbi Aaron Rakefet, he should live and be well, be gesund and stark, so he can continue his Kifus. This is his parasha. Meir, this is his parasha. He's the Pinchas of this generation. The Kanoi. So Rakefet, he always contrasts the difference in Hasidim and Misnagdim. And he says he's Mekana the Hasidim. Because Hasidim, today Hasidus is really far cry what it used to be, to a large degree. But the old-fashioned Hasidim, every decision in life was made for them. They don't make any decisions in life.
They allowed it to be that.
They want it like that. The Rebbe makes a decision. Who should I marry? The Rebbe will tell you to marry. Where should I live? The Rebbe will tell you where to live. What should I do in this situation? I have a question, business. Should I buy or sell? Stock market, buy or sell, call the Rebbe. The Rebbe has Ruach HaKodesh, will tell you what to do. Don't make any decisions. But the Litvaks, no such thing. The Litvaks is, Midu Talmidim Harbe. The Rebbe, his goal is to cause his Talmidim to stand on their own. Rav Yosha Ber, when they will come, people with Talmidim would ask him questions, he would say, you decide.
Right.
Don't come to me to ask me the Sheila. I know that you, my student, have enough Torah knowledge to make this decision on your own. Don't be a chicken.
Right.
Don't be a chicken. You have a very big dilemma what to do in your life. You have a Sheila, someone came to ask you a question. You're coming to ask me the question. I know you. I know what you're holding and learning. I know. And I know that you have enough knowledge to make a responsible decision. And time to grow up. It's time to be an adult. You decide. Abba the Rebbe, it's Chayvei Kresos, Chil Shabbos. That's right. You decide. That's the goal of a Rebbe. The goal of Rebbe is Hemidu. His favorite word was Hemidu, means Lashon Hifil. Cause your student to stand on his own and make his own decision. By Hasidim, no, that's not the way it goes. This Mishnah, I don't know how they interpret this Mishnah. They apply it is no. You go to the Rebbe. You don't make any decisions. Everything in life is decided by you. Each one has Milus and Chesronos. They're miles and chesroinus, each one. They go. Let's go back to the pasuk. Ein hamelch lo shemachag yivul mizem.
What was that?
Eishes chayil miyimsa. The Torah calls a woman an army. A chayil. Eishes, Friday night? Eishes, chayil, niyinza. What? So, you're going to have me on some TikTok over here? Eishes, chayil. The word chayil is associated with a woman. Eishes, chayil. The Torah associates the term chayil with an isha. An eishes chayil.
If you want to interpret the wife of a warrior.
Ooh. Eishes chayil, a woman of valor. Ki Hashem hu anoisein l'chokoyach la'asois choy. It's a Jewish. And it's very, very true. Because how many times do you see shidduchim and you say, this is who he marries? How many times do you have that reaction? This is the shidduch? You know, guys in my shir got married at my class, I was very often very surprised who they married. I was very often, and they're very happily married, Baruch Hashem, the vast majority of them, and close to them, is you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he puts in your mind, this is what is correct. This is the proper thing. You don't understand it? It's not your wife, none of your business. Hashem, in the world of Shidduchim, to a very large degree, you see it over a special Hashgacha, is controlling the shots. Look at this pasuk in Ekev, is Haki Hashem hu hanoisein l'cho koyach la'asos choyel. Hashem puts the Eitzah. Hashem controls your mind. It's an incredible Targum Yonasan Gazil. It really goes against, a very challenging pasuk, because it really goes against the Hashgacha. We're in a Hashgacha where you're in control. Hashem.
That's why the next word is the
Amrei Laman Obiyakov. Okay, here as well. This pasuk reinforces that principle. Ein hamelech no shabrev chal gibar lo yinas labrev kayach.
Hold one second, just before we. Remember, it's said by Devorah. Devorah, Eishes, Leviah, Eishes,
Lapidos.
Eishes,
Lapidos. A fiery woman.
She wasn't Eishes, Lapidos. Devorah, Megill, Yadal.
It's Machloikis. It's Machloikis.
No,
when it says Lapidos,
she was Zecha to Nevuah because she was
made the wicks.
She did the wicks.
There are many perushim on that passage.
So they asked the Ben Ish Chai asked the question, when it says Eishes Lapidos, she wasn't Eishes Lapidos, she was Eishes what? So Eishes
Borah. Borah. Borah.
So the answer is Eishes doesn't always mean Eishes. And what's the raya? Eishes chayil. We see that Eishes doesn't, you know, Eishes, just like Eishes.
It means a chayil. Woman. It means a woman.
It defines the woman. So here also Eishes Hapidos is defining her.
A woman? A word. Okay. Right. Exactly.
That's the famous one.
He's saying it doesn't mean a wife. It means a woman.
Right. And well, then it doesn't mean a wife. It defines whatever it's defined. The chayil defines the woman.
Right.
She's Eishes.
So the word Eishes so means also, a woman. Right. A woman.
So Eishes Lapidos is defining her nevuah. A nevuah came through.
Fire, fiery woman.
Yeah.
A woman of passion.
Or a woman who was zeicher to nevuah because she made the wicks. There's also a look in the
okay, we gotta look in the tchelos one time.
That's why the Torah said, Lo yabelot nashim. Because
Ein HaMelech Lusha Berov Chapai. The Melech is not going to survive because of his wife. The wife is not going to save her husband. The wife, Ein HaMelech Lusha, so Rav Kalman over here is saying, an incredible Chiddush, Rabbi Yisai. Not as big as a Mordechai's Chiddush. Not as big as Rav Mordechai's Chiddush, but he's saying over here, a drush, Ein HaMelech Nosha Brav Choyel. Just because a king has a smart wife, Choyel is a code word for a wife, the wisdom of the wife is not at the end of the day going to save the king. The king has to stand on his own. Jill is not going to save Joe. Jill can call all the shots she wants, but Joe has to stand on his own. Ein HaMelech no Shah Berov with a great choyel, a great woman.
She could take him down.
Okay.
Or Shlomo HaMelech, many wives.
A thousand wives.
He with
the abundance of
women.
They surrounded him. Gibor lo yinotzel b'rav kach. Gibor will not be spared b'rav kach. Sheker hasus l'shua. Falsehood is a horse. Just because you have mighty and powerful horses, that's not going to bring about salvation. And uvroiv chelo lo yimaleit. And with an abundance of wealth, you will not escape. You're not going to be able to bribe your way out of trouble. Let's see very quickly the Mitzvah of Rashi. Mitzvah of Rashi of these three psukim. Pasuk starting with pasuk. We started today with pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So let's run through this very quickly. Pasuk Yud Gimel on the previous page, on page 289. Mishamayim, im shuvah shamayim, ma'bid liros baritz ma'asebriyam. Don't fool yourself and think that Hashem does not know what is going on in this world. Although Hashem has confined himself to the shamayim, Hashem is mitzamtzem, Hashem is aware of every single thought a person has. And certainly every action. Next page. Page 291, Mimichoin, from Hashem's abode, Mehashamayim, Hamachoin Lishifto, the abode of his dwelling, V'chof Adav Miloshoinas, as Mordechai mentioned over here, it's poetic repetition. Pasuk Tezav Hayoitza, Lefishu, Hu Hayoitza, Libam Yachad, Ze Kaze Ish Loy Nedar, being that Hashem created every single one of their hearts, there was no one lacking, Afu Nezin El Kol Maaseim Lozos, Yashkiach Hamakol. So he learns it very, very simple that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem created, there's nothing that is outside of Hashem's creation. Every single thought, every single heart has been created by Hashem. So Hashem knows how they operate. There is no autonomy. If Hashem is the creator, Hashem has the code, understands how it works. Ein HaMelech, Pasuk Tezayin, Ein HaMelech, Yavi Ro'oya Sheakol BeHashgacha. I'll prove you that everything happens only with Hashem's oversight, because look at history, study history. In history, it's been proven again and again that although there are people, there are individuals, there are powers that are very, very mighty, they lose. And Klal Yisrael is the best example. All the wars that Klal Yisrael has fought defy the laws of science. They always outmaneuver much larger, more powerful armies.
That's what
the Rabbi is saying. Yodi Rav Shakol Be'ashkoch Vamar Haloi Nosha Be'Muchama Imrov Chachoyil Asher Imo Vim Hoya Kol Lufi Ateva Roy Hoya Roy Liyos Nosha Bohem. If everything followed the rules of science, then the world should not be filled with infinite number of exceptions. Sheker Hasus Merutzas Hasus Yisheker L'Havi D'Shul L'Volov. The swiftness of the horse will not bring salvation to its owner. Next page 292. Rov chelo in rov koyach lo yimal nafsho. With his abundance, he's not going to survive. Let's see Rashi. Back on page 290. Hishkiach hibit. Okay, so Rashi, what is Rashi coming over here to say? Rashi over here is coming over here to say the word hishkiach. It's very important. Rashi, the word hashkacha, more often than not, refers to intervention. And here, Rashi is telling us that's not the way the word is to be understood in this context. It means observance. Just like hibit means, let me see what's going on. And tomorrow, I'll decide what I want to do. You first have to collect evidence, collect information. When we say the word hashkacha, hashkacha klalis, Hashkacha Pratis, it doesn't mean Hashem is watching. It means Hashem is intervening. Hashem is moving things around. Hashem is active. He's involved. So Rav is, that's not what it means in this pasuk. Maybe that's what it means in other pasukim. Words in Lashon HaKodesh are abstractions. We can never write a dictionary in Lashon HaKodesh. Because a word, and we learned yesterday in Chumash, it's very fascinating. The word we learned yesterday, we spent time on the word nes. What does the word nes mean? We have in this week's parasha, Hayu l'nes, b'nei koirach, the adas koirach, and dasan va'aviram, it says in the pasuk, Hayu, they were l'nes. So we like to translate nes as a miracle. Va'yihiyu l'nes, a miracle. What? A miracle? What miracle? The earth opened up the ground. That's not referring to the miracle opening up the ground. the words of you go. If you have a dictionary, say, oh, nes means miracle. That's the way we use it 99% of the time. But so it doesn't make any sense. It's exactly the point. The word nes does not mean a miracle. The word nes, if you would take all the times that it's found in Tanakh, and you would write a definition that captures the common denominator of all the usages of the word nes, it would be something that, no, not necessarily teva, no, so that stands out. Something that stands out. A nes means a flag.
A
flag, a banner. A banner is not a miracle. A banner, a son nes. It means a banner. It stands out. What happened to Dosan Va'aviram, it was an example. An example, it stands out as an example, an os and a zikaron for Klal Yisrael. Don't ever do this again. It is an event that stands out. A miracle, it stands out because it's not normal. It does not following science. It's outside the realm of science. The word nes means something that stands out. Now, in every context, it will take on a very precise meaning. It refers to a miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It means lamala miderech hateva. You broke the rules of nature. When it comes to a banner, banner isn't as high up, and people can see it. It stands out. When it comes to Korach, they are an example. Their behavior and the punishment that came upon them stands out. So here as well, here the other word mashishkiach. Hishkiach is a term which in every context has to be redefined. The concept is, it represents Hashem is involved. There is an oversight. An oversight, there are different types of oversight. There is a collection of information, and then there is the actual intervention. Here it's hibit. Next pasuk, tezvav tezayin. Tezvav. Hayoytza yachad libam. Leiv kulam yachad. So that's not what the Mitzudas David said. Even though when it says the word yachad, according to the Mitzudas David, hayoytzer yachad libam, it means Hashem created each, not together. Yachad, I don't know what you mean by that. Yachad is okay, let's read what it says. V'yodea kol hamachshavos, and Hashem knows all the person's thoughts. Let's see what it says. It's based in the Sifrei Zekeinim. Leiv kulam yachad hamachshavos. Written in Lema, she'ein ha'perush she'yotzar leiv kulam yachad b'pamachas elo. The Sifrei Zekeinim. The Sifrei Zekeinim is base. It does not mean that Hashem created their hearts in one shot. El ha'kavona she'yodea kol ha'machashavos yachad. Hashem knows all of the thoughts. In Hashem sees all of the elements of one heart come together. So it's a very important word, Rashi, what he's doing over here. Yachad is not modifying the word yotzer. Yachad means Hashem creates their heart, and thus, once Hashem created their heart, Hashem is able, in one habata, to see everything, all of the machshavos at one moment, which is impossible for a human being to do. A human being can only analyze the information one piece at a time. You're not able to go and take the whole thing and put the whole thing together.
The big picture.
I always told this is a very. I once asked this to Rav Simcha. I told this to you a few times. I've reviewed Rav Simcha Soloveitchik. I once asked Rav Simcha Soloveitchik Shlita. He's a goyim. He's a very big talent. Tremendous, tremendous. He doesn't need my haskam. And he used to have a koil here in my Shmidman Shul. Now, unfortunately, he's in Mansi, so I don't see him too often. I try to call him up once in a while. Say hello. And I once had the chutzpah to ask him, he's a real brisker. He's more brisk than brisk. Okay, he's Rav Simcha Soloveitchik. He's not a youngster. He's not a youngster, and
he grew up in Monsi.
Yes. And I asked him, what's this mishigas? the brisk is the Rambam. Why the Rambam? Why are the briskas obsessed with the Rambam? So he says to me, it's very simple. From all of the Rishon, if a Rishon says, if you read what Rashi says in the Masechta Brachos, is that relevant to what Rashi writes in the Masechta Zvachim? Now Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. There's no one greater than Rashi. He's the Rabban Shel Yisrael. But yet, Rashi is inconsistent. You can't ask a kasha on Rashi from what he says in, if you want to understand the sugya in the Masechta Brachos, you can't go to a sugya in the Masechta Zvachim or Masechta Shabbos and read what Rashi says and extrapolate from what Rashi writes about a totally unrelated sugya in Masechta Zvachim to understand what Rashi means in Masechta Brachos. And if you're learning Masechta Brachos and there's a dilemma as to a concept in Kriya Shema, and you don't understand what Rashi's trying to say, so you know what? Let's just open up any Daf Gemara anywhere in Shas, and we'll open up the Gemara Masechta Zvachim about bringing a carbon oilah, and we'll read what Rashi says. And from that Rashi, we'll now be able to understand what Rashi means when he writes about it in Hilchas Kriya Shema. You can't do that. Hay luchud v'hay luchud. Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael, but hay luchud v'hay luchud. And certainly when it comes to other Rishon, the Ritva, the Rashba, and the Me'iri, Me'iri didn't even learn the Me'iri, he's a newcomer, and all of the classic Rishon. But the Rambam is different. The Rambam's degree of consistency is so great. If you have difficulty understanding something in Hilchas Brachos, you can literally open up a Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaBechira and read what the Rambam says there and understand his train of thought. And that will be a gilui, a revelation of what the Rambam means in Hilchas Kriya Shema. How could you say that? Hay luchud v'hay luchud. That's why the Bariskas are obsessed with the Rambam. The Rambam's ability to see the big picture and to wrap Kol HaTorah Kulo into one is so awesome and so great. You can literally paskin, understand a Rambam in Hilchas Brachos by learning what Rambam says in Hilchas in the most esoteric other sugya elsewhere in the Yad HaChazak. Because the Rambam's scope is so thoroughly consistent. And that is what is endearing and mesmerizing about the Rambam, of the consistency in his understanding of the Torah and complexity. Therefore, that's why the Briskers are totally obsessed, enamored with the Rambam. That's what it says over here. What?
That comes, I mean, not to disagree, but the fact is that comes from writing in a short space of time in his life. The whole Yad HaChazak.
The whole thing is a Pella. He wrote the Yad HaChazak when he was very young.
The Yad HaChazak in his 20s.
The Rambam is like a Malach Elokim. The whole thing doesn't make sense, right?
But he wrote it in a short space of time. Rashi took a whole
lifetime
to compose, so he had different thoughts.
And the Rambam was like, younger than Rashi.
Just like the Gemara starts with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in Hazav, Kones HaKesev. After he says that, what do his kids say if the Gemara begins? Daddy, I remember when you were younger, you held the other way. You know, how come? What changed your mind?
And that's the case. That's the Rambam.
Tomorrow, what brought him about to change his view?
Another thing I heard is, I know it was very limited Sfarim available on Rishonim and everything.
Well, they were the Rishonim. There was nothing else.
And Rambam, that's all they had.
They were the Rishonim. I mean, but they had the Mesorah. I mean, obviously, Moshe, Kilam, Sinai, they were close to the Mesorah. Their degree of understanding
is... The Sfarim were not available. In other words,
well, they had the Masorah.
They
had the tradition.
But
they had the tradition. They had minds that were obviously in the world of
beyond,
Torah,
beyond comprehension.
Beyond comprehension.
That's why the Gemara said, what do you have in a Holy Sorrow when it's a foot of what, not, I forgot, one of the Tanayim, it's your Dalit on the base or your Gimel on the base in a Holy Sorrow. He's one of the Tanayim. They prove that he said something, he misremembered something, and they tell them, and he says a whole list of things, and it says, keep your mouth closed, you're untrustworthy from now on, you can't trust anything.
If he forgets one little thing.
You made a mistake, and therefore you're no longer able to. We can't write down anything you say because who knows?
See, it said most of us have never met geniuses. Geniuses, we're like you get a taste, you get humbled very quickly. Like there are people we know. There are people that are smart. They're very smart, very very smart. But there are certain people that are just in a totally different world, different league. And when you come in contact with these people, you're like, Rabbi Belsky was like that. I knew Rabbi Belsky very little, but the few times I interacted with Rabbi Belsky, it's like this person. He's like from a different world.
Right.
He knows everything. Everything. A photographic memory of and a comprehension and sees the whole picture. And many people can't deal with that. Because today everyone's a specialist today in their little world. And they become very narrow in their understanding. And Rybelski, like the few times I interacted with him, it's like you're humbled. Like you How does there such a thing in this world, a brain like this, that has such total over everything is there? And Rybelski would say, he would always almost shake. He would say, the smartest person I ever met was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rybelski was totally in awe of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And me, like a peanut.
He's a Talmud.
Yeah, of course. And I'm like in totally, off, and like, in like in awe of Rybelski. And like, wow. And then Rybelski is saying that he was nothing connected to Yaakov Kamenetsky. So could you imagine what kind of mar Yaakov Kamenetsky must have had? And Rav Moshe, the same thing. Rav Moshe. And that's why a lot of times, they issue Piskei Halacha. And people don't want to accept it. Because unfortunately we are so limited in we're so narrow in what we see, we're unable to see how they see things totally different. They see the broad picture. This is exactly what it says over here in this passage. Hayoitzer Yachad Libo. Hashem creates Yachad Libo, according to Rashi, according to the Sikkanim. When Hashem looks at the person has a machshava. I'm thinking about making the following decision in life. Hashem is not just looking at that one decision, that machshava. Hashem, when he sees you have that thought, that machshava of doing a mitzvah, doing an avera, Hashem sees that together with every other thought you ever had your entire life. And when you see the big picture and you see the synthesis of how they all come together, the way Hashem judges you on that machshava is very different than if a human being, if you can imagine you're a human being and you have a computer and you look at people. I look at Meir and the computer right away tells me, it just types out whatever he's thinking, whatever is going through his mind right now. So I see what he's thinking right now. I don't appreciate that this thought is a reaction to reaction to reaction of a whole sequence of events. Because the computer just says right now what's going through his mind. You look at this person, you get a computer printout. Exactly. That's trivial. Because if you don't know the whole picture, it's not fair. It's not fair just to get a printout of what's going through a person's mind at this moment in time. So when we judge people, we judge because we figured out what they're thinking. We figured out what they're thinking, so therefore, we in our minds we judge them in our way. Hashem doesn't do that. Hayoitzer yachad libam hamevin el kol maaseim. Rashi says hayoitzer leiv kulam yachad. What does that mean? Rashi just first quotes the pasuk, and you'll hear in the brackets he says something over here which is not we would never say this, and it's not clear what this means exactly. V'yodeya kol. Hamachashavas. Well, what does that mean? So since it's a Canaan, Lev Kulam Yachad, Hamachashavas, return the Lemar, She'ema Perish, She'yotzar Lev Kulam Yachad. Doesn't Hashem created every single heart of humanity in one shot? So what it means, when it says the word Yachad, it's going on each individual person, And it's referring not to his heart, it's referring to the collection of every single thought that's going in his mind. Ela hakavana sheyodea kol hamachashavos yachad. When you have one thought, that one thought is not just an isolated thought. That thought is a product of every other thought that you had in your life, every experience you had in your life, and that is what triggered you to have this particular thought. And that thought is not going to be the same thought as someone else, even though if you were to print up the words of the machshava on paper, it would be exactly the same, but it's not the same, because you have to take into consideration this, the how that thought came to be. Okay, finish with the Rashi's. Rabbi Seinu Hesibuhu, they direct these words, El Minchoin Shifto Hishkiach Yachad Libam.
It refers back.
So they turn back this expression to the beginning of the pasuk where it says, El Minchoin Shifto, from Hashem's abode did Hashem look down. Yachad Libam Hayotro, together their hearts, Hayotro. What does that mean? V'darshu mikan shekulam niskodin b'skira achas. This is for Rosh Hashanah, and this means, going back to the previous pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he surveys everyone in one shot. Look at the pasuk Gimel. And then the Gimel is the Kainim. Rabbi Seinu, Ritzon Lamar, the Rabbi Seinu, Shaper, B'Pshitos, HaKavono, the Mashkiach, B'Kulam, B'Pam Achas, or B'Skir Achas. Not like what Rashi says, going on humanity. And humanity meaning, we say this on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not so far down the line. And that is, there are multiple types of judgments on Rosh Hashanah. On one hand, everyone passes before Hashem as a single individual and is judged individually. Mitzat Sheni, there's another judgment on Rosh Hashanah where Hashem judges humanity in one shot. Hashem looks at the world together, the entire humanity. He looks at them yachad. So this word, Hayotzer Yachad Libam, he interprets in Rashi the Yotzro. Yachad Libam Hayotzro, the one who created their heart, Hashem Mishamayim Hibit Yachad. Okay, this is a real sophisticated slice and dice, cut and paste job. Over here, Rashi is doing, or Rabbi Seinu is doing, a real sophisticated cut and paste. It's saying the word yachad, basically slice the pasuk. Mishamayim, from heaven, hibit Hashem, hayoytzer, Hashem, who is the creator. Take the word yoytzer, hayoytzer, from heaven, the yoytz, mishamayim, hibit Hashem, hayoytzer. Hashem, who is the Yoitzer, he looks down upon what? Upon Libam, upon their heart. Upon their heart. I guess you could put it to both psukim. From heaven, Hashem, who is the creator, who created mankind, he looks at man's heart, Yachad, at the heart of humanity, all of the machshavos of man in one glance, the skir achas, and he gets the picture. What is happening in society? Because we are all truly interconnected, and the judgment of what's going to be the next year is a result of the collective assessment of the entire humanity. That's one element, one dimension of Mishpat. And then there are other elements of Mishpat, of Kivnei Moroim. Each single person passes individually. There are multiple dimensions of Mishpat on Rosh Hashanah. There's a Mishpat for the individual, and then there's a dimension of Mishpat of Yachad, the Klal. And what is Hashem looking at? Our hearts, the hearts of humanity. And the judgment here is called the Hishkiach, and the Habata is the assessment. Hashem looks upon the hearts of mankind, yachat, in one shot, in one assessment. That's how Rabbi Seinu take this pasuk. They take this pasuk, yotze yachat libam, amevul kol maaseim. You take that pasuk and you inject it into the previous pasuk, previous two psukim. In the previous two psukim, it's describing Kadosh Baruch Hu surveying society. And Hashem, He is the one who created our hearts, and He looks and judges the hearts of mankind with the word habata, with the word hashkacha, upon the machshavos of mankind, yachad, in one shot. That concludes the Rashi. Tomorrow
we can understand it because we know the ways. The ways does the same thing. I want to go this way, he wants to go this way. And the
ways
direct everybody to wherever they want to go.
Correct.
Just one movement.
Interaction. All right, let's take a short break. Let's take a short break on my side. I got to call Mr. Skolnick. Something is wrong with his phone. I know what he's calling me about.